Welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich.
And I'm Vera Sarzano.
And we would like to welcome you back to Scene 7, Episode 2. Ciao, Vera. Come stai?
Ciao, Nathan. Io tutto bene, grazie. Tu?
Sai, Vera, qui sta piovendo come se non ci fosse un domani.
No, sorry, that was perfect. Era giustissimo, perfetto, ma non mi aspettavo un idiom, ok? Non mi aspettavo un modo di dire.
Sì, un sorpresa per te, vero?
Sì, piove come se non ci fosse un domani, fantastico. So the literal translation is, it's raining as if there was no tomorrow.
And it really is. So here we are, Vera, in our second episode of the season. It's already the middle of spring here. Now, I'm curious, what did you do to celebrate Easter? Because we didn't talk about that in our first episode. And I just want to quickly follow up. Now, Easter was really early this year compared to a lot of years. Well, how did you celebrate Easter this year, Vera?
Okay, so actually, I never do anything really special or grand for Easter because Italians travel a lot, okay? Easter is the beginning of spring, so Italians really go everywhere and anywhere. So I don't like to travel or visit cities or just even go somewhere here nearby because it's so crowded, okay? So I usually stay home and, well, I got my uovo di Pasqua, my chocolate egg. Mm-hmm. It's dark chocolate and salted caramel, my favorite. It's like the best. So actually, it was just, if we're talking about Easter, so Sunday, it was Luca, my parents, and I, just the four of us. Usually, people have Easter lunch. That's the tradition. But we don't do lunch. We don't like to have big lunches, especially because we love wine and we just cannot drink around 12 or 1. It's too early. So we had something not so traditional, kind of unconventional. We had an Easter dinner with all, you know, the traditional dishes like the savory torta pasqualina, so the Easter sort of pie with all kind of, it's like we made it with asparagus and ricotta cheese, and we had roast beef, and of course we ate. I'm Italian, you're asking me what I did for Easter, and I'm telling you what I ate, because that's what we do, right? And then the next day in Italy, so Monday, the day after Easter, in Italy it's holiday. It's Lunedì dell'Angelo or Pasquetta. We call it Little Easter. And of course, I worked because my students are mostly from the US and it's not holiday there. So I just kept working as usual. What about you? What did you do?
I'm not surprised that you are working on Pasquetta, but I understand. I get it. It's very tempting. I'm always working, no matter when it is, it feels like. But this year I made an exception. And, you know I've talked a lot. I haven't talked for a long time about the pandemic because I think we all got sick and tired of talking about the pandemic. But the first, like, at least 2.5 years of my time in Italy, nothing was normal. Like, it was not normal. And so I'm still experiencing new things with the Italian family here, Alessandro's family, that I've never experienced before because we kind of just stopped doing them for a few years, I guess. Or I should say they stopped doing them, so I didn't get a chance to do it. So I'd always wanted to do this big Pasquetta where you go out to a lake or you go somewhere out to nature, have a picnic, and it just always sounded amazing. But, you know, it just never happened. So this year, one family member ran into another family member randomly in town, and they got to talking, and they're like, oh, we really should do a Pasquetta together. And then Alessandro comes home and says, oh, my aunt ran into my uncle, and my mom talked to them, and now they're all planning a Pasquetta. And he's like, oh, now I'm going to have to deal with that. And I was like, no, we have to do it. I've wanted to do that forever. And so he's like, all right, if you really want to do it, we'll do it. We planned on doing it outside, but Easter week in Italy ended up being very rainy and wet, kind of like it is right now. So we ended up switching from going to this one private little lake nearby here in the Prosecco Hills to going to an agriturismo nearby because it was going to be raining. So that's what we ended up doing for Pasquetta. For Easter, the day of Easter, I think Alessandro has got it into his head. He's got it ingrained into his head that anytime there's a holiday, I have to have a turkey. Which is not actually the case, but now I can't break it to him that I don't really need a turkey except on Thanksgiving. But because we've had it in the past, we've had a turkey on a Christmas before, we had a turkey on a Thanksgiving, and he's very embracing of the American kind of way, and he kind of loves it because it's different and it's novel. Now he's made it his job to find a turkey, any opportunity. So he went out and found this fabulous roasted turkey that he got at our local butcher shop, which was absolutely delicious and wonderful. And he got this gravy that went with it. So anyway, it was just so great. We had a very quiet dinner here at home. Alessandra's mom came over and we just enjoyed a nice quiet Easter lunch. I made two desserts. Alessandro had been at some other family event, had been bragging to his aunt and uncle, I think it was at New Year's, with his aunt and uncle. He'd been telling them what an amazing baker I am. I'm not. And then he said, Nathan makes the most amazing carrot cakes. He makes these two-tiered carrot cakes. He puts frosting. I don't know where he got that idea. I've made one carrot cake and it looked like a tiny little bunt of nothing. It had no icing on it. It was more like a loaf of bread than anything else because I had the wrong pan. But he's seen all these pictures of two-tiered carrot cakes, and he's telling his aunt, oh, you have to taste Nathan's carrot cake. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to make a carrot cake. And he's like, I'm telling your aunt that you're bringing a cheesecake and a carrot cake to Pasquetta. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now my ideas of Pasquetta just kind of turned into a bake-off. I ended up baking a whole bunch of random things that I'm not good at, and I don't bake very well. They're my great aunt's recipes, and the recipes really are delicious. This lemon and strawberry cheesecake is divine, and I will make it for you sometime, Vetta. It's very good, and it's very easy to make. But on the other hand, the two-layered carrot cake might be really easy for someone who's a good baker or even a novice baker. I'm not either. I'm like a non-baker, and so it about killed me. It turned out okay, and they sort of liked it, but like I expected, they didn't love it. They liked the cheesecake better. Anyway, so that's my Easter recap. Now, Vetta, I wanted to follow up with you about something that you shared with me the other day. You told me a really interesting story. You said to me that someone that you knew from the United States, and tell me how you know this person, remind me, but you were searching for something that I've never really heard anybody do, at least on this side in Italy. I've never heard anybody do this. I've heard Americans do this, but I've never heard Italians do this. And you were telling me about this home exchange that an American friend of yours was trying to do with an Italian. Can you tell me what happened with that?
Oh, yeah. So it was my American host mom and dad. So, you know, when I was 16 and I started in Washington State for a semester, this amazing family had me as their exchange student, and they are really the best. We kept in touch for 20 years and more now, and they're amazing. We met a few times. They come to Europe pretty often now that they're both retired, so that is great. And she was like, oh, we would like to come to Italy again, and we were looking for a home exchange. We are coming with our cousins. I mean, the cousin and his wife. His wife is from Costa Rica, and they have two stunning villas on the beach in Costa Rica with indoor swimming pool and, you know, a private massage and yoga area. It's just a dream. I saw the pictures, okay? And I love Katrina. I really do. And my host mom, but she went full American on me. Now, I can navigate sort of both worlds, Italian and American, but I woke up one morning to a long text from her, and it was like, how are you doing? I was so good to see you a few years ago, and then anyway, all nice and sweet, and then we would like to have a home exchange in Northern Italy. Do you happen, or Luca, and does Luca happen to know anybody who wants to do a home exchange? So I try to explain to her that even though Italy is small, like way smaller than California, we know that it's huge to us because every region is so different and so on. So I was like, no, we don't know anyone. We don't have contacts in Northern Italy anymore, even if our family lives there, but it's not work contact with, you know, properties and so on. If you wanted to visit Tuscany or this area, maybe I could see and try. And she was like, oh yeah, Tuscany, great, amazing. It's like, they're not far away and Tuscany is beautiful. I'm like, yeah, but you said Northern Italy. So that was the first, you know, bump in the road. But okay, yeah, sure. If you're here in Tuscany, it's easier for me to meet you and see you. Because of course, if they come to Italy, I want to meet them and see them. Great. Now, I told her I have a few ideas in mind, a few clients of Luca, and so we can try to figure things out. And she started sending me pictures again and the dates, but the dates were still, you know, not exact because maybe she's planning another trip before that and another trip right after that, Spain and Germany. You're starting to see where I'm going, right? Italians would just go to one country at a time, but okay, whatever, because it's too much. Anyway, and she kept texting me and I'm like, I'm seeing this man on Tuesday and I'm going to talk to him about this. So this man is a German man who has a property here. And I asked him first because he's German. Okay, so a better chance for him to understand. Italians don't do home exchange. I mean, there are some, a few of them, but we don't feel comfortable leaving our house, the one we live in, to a stranger. That's it. And no, we don't trust them. We don't trust anyone, okay? It's not because they are American or because you are from Germany, whatever. No, it's just that we're very, very jealous of our property, first of all. And then what happens? Houses in Italy are really old and weird. You know, there are all these weird things that foreigners are not used to, okay? And once again, especially Americans, because everything is different. It's like a different continent. Maybe other Europeans could be more familiar with our appliances or the way you need to, you know, move around in an Italian home. But for Americans, it is more difficult. Now, in a agriturismo, in an Airbnb, someone who does that for a job, everything is explained and it's easier. But in your house, it's just difficult. Okay. But she kept texting me. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to ask him on Tuesday. And then he was like, sorry, I cannot travel. I'm too old, this German man. My two daughters are too busy. So I cannot do a home exchange. I can rent the house if they want to. So I told her, she was willing to pay, of course, if she couldn't find anything else. But I was like, okay, give me a few more days because I need to talk to someone else. And again, every morning I woke up to like 15 texts. What did they say? Tell them we have a pool in Costa Rica. Tell them there are two houses. Tell them the houses are available. I'm like, they didn't even answer the phone yet. They are Italian, okay? So I asked a friend of a friend, not a person I know personally, but it's one of my dear friend Irene's colleagues. So I know he's a trusted man. And he has an agriturismo with two apartments not far from my place. And I just thought, maybe let's see if he's interested. So I texted Irene and, you know, his answer was, are you kidding me? Are you giving me a free house in Costa Rica for a free house in Tuscany? And I'm like, yeah, no, that cannot be true. You're talking about Costa Rica. And I was like, yeah, and you are talking about Tuscany. There are people from all over the world flocking here to be in a place like yours. Okay? You have an agriturismo, you know that. People pay to come and stay with you. So But he was like, yeah, but it's not as beautiful as Costa Rica. I was like, it is for them, for people who were not born and raised in Tuscany. So it was really very complicated because I had there this guy, and then he was like, yeah, but the agriturismo is not only mine. I need to talk to my cousin because we share the agriturismo. We work together, and ask him if he's okay with that and if we don't have any bookings. But now my mom is not home. He's like in his 40s, but of course he needed to ask his mom because his mom is the one who takes all the bookings and so on. I had Italian who needed a few days, you know, to process the idea and even to realize it was true and not a prank. And, you know, because Costa Rica is like the dream. I mean, it is a beautiful country. I have nothing against Costa Rica, but for many, many people around the world, Tuscany is their Costa Rica, right? So anyway, it was crazy. So I had to wait for them to reply. And my host mom, bless her heart, but she's kind of older, so technology is not the best idea. If I could only show you her text, she sent me the same pictures like 7 times. And she was like, sorry, I was trying to send you the picture with a whale because there was a whale right in front of the house in Costa Rica. And I was like, yeah, I got that 5 times. Thank you. Got the whale. So I was kind of stressed because, you know, I want to help her, but I don't want to push the Italians. And I already did too much because I was like, so can I tell them it's okay? Can I tell them? But he needed to figure out dates while she was pressuring me. And oh, wow, this is not easy. How can you, Nathan, as an American, be married to an Italian and not have, you know, your hair gray and up here from stress? Because, you know, having two worlds get along, and, you know, especially when it's about planning things, we are not two different continents, but two different planets.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's introvert versus extrovert makes a much bigger difference than Italian versus American. But I can tell you there have been, especially in the beginning, some major misunderstandings and clashes. And really, these days, we don't have those very often anymore. And they're almost more funny than anything now because we know that they'll just go away. But yeah, it is a different approach to life. And Italians say, okay, this is just my take. You tell me what you think about this, Vera. Americans are yes people. Italians are no people.
You know what? I was about to say yes, but to prove my point, I should have said no.
No, I don't mean that Italians never say yes. I think that they start with a no. Their instinct is to just, no, I don't understand it. It's new. It's different. I don't have anywhere to put it in my brain. There's no category. It's going to have to be a no because I'm intimidated by it.
Yep. You nailed it. That's it. That's exactly how we do. First answer, no. Oh my God. Wow.
Well, it's probably a little bit more wise than what Americans do, which is just say yes to anything and then figure it out. And oftentimes don't do a very good job of figuring it out. I can certainly attest to that in my own life, but how amazing that you were able to make that connection. I mean, that almost sounds like something you need to add to your resume, Vera, because I think that you just found your new calling, connecting people from one beautiful place in the world to another.
Oh yeah, I didn't sleep for 3 nights, but yeah.
You can start an international with Italy home sharing program. So anyway, everybody who has a beautiful villa on a beach with a whale that comes to visit regularly, you know who to call. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding too, but you see what I did here and how I made this work? I asked someone who owns an agriturismo. It's not his place. I'm not sure it would, I mean, it's not that there are no Italians at all who would ever do a home exchange, but most Italians would never do that. And there are two reasons. Well, the first of all, we're very jealous and, you know, our house, it's our home. So, the second reason is that usually when you do a home exchange, unless, you know, you have multiple properties, you have to exchange the house at the same time, obviously. So most of the time you don't meet the person who's coming to your place, so you don't get the chance to hand over the key and give instruction and everything else, because you need to be on your flight to Costa Rica, for example. And it's impossible. It's impossible because, especially foreigners, they plan things way in advance. We, as Italians, we don't even know what we're doing tomorrow, okay? So don't ask me, nowadays, I don't know, let's say it's January, to book a flight and commit to exchanging my place in October. I cannot say yes, so.
I get that. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So these people are not going to be exchanging at the exact same time?
No, because the house that my host family has in Costa Rica, it's a second home, basically. So they live in California, I guess, or Washington State, I don't know. But the wife is originally from Costa Rica. She has two beautiful villas there. They spend a lot of time there now that they're retired. But, you know, so my friend who has an agriturismo here in Tuscany can go. Now, this is also funny. Sorry, the story is getting longer. But now, my host family said, okay, the house is free for you or whoever find exchange, home exchange, for the whole year, okay? All 2024, but Easter, okay? And Easter was just in a few days, so it was like, okay, no worries. They're not going to ask for Easter 2024. So I'll tell them they can come anytime through 2024. That's great. Well, after a few phone calls and some arrangements, they're going in January 2025. So Italians had 10 months, okay, 9 months, and they can go whenever, but no, they ask for an extension. Can we go in January after? So, yeah.
Well, I can't blame them. That's a really good time to be in a warm tropical climate. I mean, that's good thinking, actually. They know that their business is going to be slow. And I mean, absolutely. Why not? Well, that's cool. What a great story. I had to tell you something. One of my favorite things in the world is films. I love movies. I just have always loved movies. Probably grew up loving them since I first watched movies at my grandmother's house growing up. We would go swimming all day, then we would come inside and she would turn on Sound of Music or My Fair Lady or this collection of VHS movies that she had. So anyway, I've just always loved movies and films, and going to the theater is just like the best experience in the world, especially if it's a good film. So as you probably know, I don't know, maybe you don't know because you don't watch movies, the movie Dune.
I heard about it.
Okay, very good. Well, the second part of Dune, I don't know if there's going to be a third part. I think there's for sure one, or the first one already happened, and this was Dune Part 2. It's one of these like epic, I think it's considered like in the category of a space odyssey or a space opera. And so anyway, it's this book, you know, this series of books or whatever it's that it's based on, and Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya and like all of these other great actors are in this. And because there's a U.S. military base not far from where we are here, we have this really lovely theater in the city of Pordenone, which has films in English because there's a pretty big population of Americans in the area. I don't mind watching certain things, especially Italian shows in Italian. I don't mind watching it. But what I really don't like is I don't like watching English movies dubbed into Italian. I cannot, my brain cannot handle it. Even though I know it's good for me technically to go watch a movie in Italian that was spoken in English and then they add voices, I hate it. We waited and we couldn't figure out time. I was busy. Alessandra was traveling. And finally, Dune Part 2 was no longer available at Pordenone in English. Now, we have a beautiful theater here in Conegliano. Really comfortable, really beautiful, delicious popcorn. You can walk to it from our house. It's so lovely. And I really wanted to watch Dune in the theaters. But I did not want to watch it in Italian. And our local Conegliano is not for tourists. It's not for Americans. It's only for Italians. And let me tell you, they do not play films in English here. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. We're going to just go watch the movie in Italian. That's it. So we went and bought our tickets. I smuggle all kinds of weird things into movies. I want to be comfortable. And this was a 3-hour movie with an intermission. So I want to be comfortable. So I smuggled in a huge bottle with us of just sparkling water because I knew we were going to get popcorn, and then a giant blanket and a pillow. So we get there, we buy the popcorn, we buy some candy. I smuggle my bag in. So I get all set up, my blanket and pillows. We're like all situated. I start watching Dune. Incredible movie, by the way. I mean, even if you're not into like Star Wars and space odysseys and that kind of stuff, this is the kind of movie that you really should watch on a big screen because it's so just this other world that you are taken to. And you don't feel like there's so many special effects, but you don't feel like you're watching a special effects movie. You feel like you're watching a movie from another world. It's kind of impressive. And it probably was about, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes into the movie, I realized, oh my gosh, I am following this movie like 100% of this movie. And I wasn't even bothered by the voices that were changed because half of the time people in this movie are wearing masks and their mouths are covered. So you can't even see their mouths moving. So that was this like unexpected blessing. And the other half the time in this movie, they're speaking some weird space alien dialect. So there are Italian subtitles below. So I had Italian subtitles to read. 45 minutes into this movie, I'm enjoying it in Italian and understanding it. I never once nudged Alessandro and was like, what did he just say? By the time we got to intermission, I was so happy because I was like, I can enjoy a movie, an English movie in Italian now. Like, my world has just changed. So I have to tell you, that was something really, really fun that happened in the past week that I wanted to share.
And I'm so happy for you. Isn't that the best feeling ever when you can follow a conversation in a language that you studied, of course, but a whole movie, it's yeah, another level, and it's just so rewarding and so amazing. I love when it happens. Now, you said that you love watching movies because when you were little, you used to watch all these kind of musicals with your granny, with your nonna. How is she?
Well, you know what, Vera? I've been meaning to give an update about Graham for a long time. And I think this is about as good a time as any. I didn't want to give it in the last season because we were so focused on getting through all the regions. And I didn't want to give it during the first episode of this season because I wanted that to be our first episode to be kind of like a celebration of our new season. But I do have an update about my dear beloved Graham. And I don't know if I've said anything about her at all in our previous episodes. I don't know if I have or not, but I recently got a really lovely message from a new listener from England. His name is Paul. Paul said, I just want you to know that I just listened to season 2, episode 1, and that was where you were interviewing your grandmother in California when you went back to California for your first visit after moving to Italy. And he said, I just loved her. What a spectacular woman she is. And many of you have reached out and told me the same thing, but because I got that message today, it made me just realize I should probably give an update about Graham. So I went back to California for 2 weeks in November for one of my best friend's daughter's wedding. And as you probably remember from previous episodes, when I shared about my career I used to have, which was event design and production, I used to do events for a living all over the place. And so, my dear friend Gina, her daughter was getting married in California, and she was like, Nathan, that's going to be a huge wedding. There was like, I don't know, some massive number of people at this wedding, like 400 people or more. And she's like, please come and help me with this wedding. And of course, I couldn't say no to Gina. Plus, I was like, okay, I'll go and stay with Graham while I work on this wedding. And it's in the same town where my Graham and my family live. And so I'll stay with Graham for those 2 weeks. So I did that. And my Graham has been, she got COVID and she had some lasting effects. It really affected her breathing. And she was having to do breathing treatments and she was even taking oxygen. And it was just not, she wasn't doing great, but she was still herself. Like we could still sit down and play a game of canasta and we laughed together and she was still driving a car. And I took her over to my parents' house one night for a barbecue. And after I had finished working on the wedding, and we just had a really lovely visit and it was really special. So I came home from that trip and 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from my mom that Graham had fallen during the early morning hours, probably when she was getting up to go to the bathroom, fallen. And she had fallen because she had a stroke, a really massive stroke, and she had broken her big bone, I think it's the femur bone, in her leg right next to her hip. So she'd already kind of had some issues, and now she's broken her leg, you know, and any of you know who know what happens when an old person breaks their hip, it's kind of the beginning of the end. But now on top of that, she also had a stroke. So she was in the hospital for all through Thanksgiving and into the first middle part of December. It was touch and go. We weren't even sure if she was going to make it. She couldn't speak. Her whole left side was affected, couldn't move on her left side. And anyway, it was devastating news. And her own mother, though, had a stroke at the almost the exact same age, which was 85, and lived another 16 years to be 101. So I kind of was holding out hope that my Graham would sort of do the same thing her mother did, my great-grandmother, and sort of pull out of it. Well, she finally was able to come home. She got had that major surgery when she was strong enough for that major surgery. She had surgery on her hip, repaired the bone, came home, and instead of being in the upstairs in her house, she has an elevator in her house to take her upstairs. But instead of being in the upstairs, she had a hospital bed brought into one of the downstairs bedrooms with a beautiful view out onto her pasture with her cows and her beautiful yard out in the country that she loves so much with all her trees. And so that's where she's been, in that bed every day since the end of November of last year. She doesn't have her phone anymore. So my dear beloved grandmother, who used to call me and knew exactly what my schedule was here, she knew the time difference. She knew when I was awake. She knew when I was asleep. She was the only person who could remember the time difference in my family. And she would call me and she would talk to me while I went on walks up to the castle, and she would send me text messages. She would leave me voicemails. Now all of a sudden, my favorite person in the whole world is not able to speak to me, call me, and I'm not even able to call her because she can't even answer her phone. And I've talked to her about 3 or 4 times since November, which is how many times I've been able to talk to her, because when my mom goes there or a brother goes there, somebody goes there and they remember to give me a call and the time difference is correct and I'm awake here in Italy while they're there visiting her. So it's been very, very heartbreaking. And it's like she's disappeared from my life and I'm not there. By May, I'm hoping to be back in California to see her. And it may be the last time I ever see her. So I want to thank you all so much, those of you who have asked about her and those of you who have sent me lovely messages. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do that. I really appreciate it. I know you felt a connection with her, and I want you to know that she listened to this podcast and she felt like she was a part of it too. Anyway, I just wanted to give you that update. We'll just take it one day at a time, but that's my update about Graham, and I'm sorry to share something that's so sad, but that's part of life. And I guess I'm sharing it with you so you can understand a little bit about my life, but also understand what you're going to experience as well when you move to Italy. especially if you're moving to Italy the way I have, where you live here and you make a couple visits a year home. You're going to have things like this come up in your life, probably if you're close to your family or close to loved ones, and it's really hard and it's sad. And it can make you feel completely lost and lonely, and it can make you feel very, very depressed and sad. And I've been kind of in this weird grieving place for the last few months, and I've tried not to let it affect my time here with Vera on the podcast, but it probably has seeped in a little bit. And if it has, my apologies. I want to bring good energy when I'm here with you. But anyway, I just also want to thank you for caring enough and for allowing me to share that with you. I've shared so much of my life with you. It's a gift to be able to do that. And I want to thank you for that. And thank you for your prayers. They are greatly appreciated on her behalf, and your well wishes. She's still with us, so it's not all lost yet, but it has been tough. So anyway, just wanted to give that update. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest. Felt good to talk about it. And Vera, I thank you for asking me. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. And I know how lonely you feel up here and probably frustrated because there's nothing you can do to be next to her. But you've been and you still are a great grandson to your nonna. She loves you very much. We all know this. I had the chance to meet her on Zoom, but I did, and it was amazing. That was last year, I guess. She's the best, I can tell. And it's so great that you have this amazing connection with your grandma. I mean, it's not something that everybody experiences, you know, a grandson and a nonna, and you travel and you went to Scotland and she was younger. So that will be forever with you and with her. And we wish your nonna all the best.
Thank you, Vera. I really appreciate that. And yes, she really thought you were fabulous. And she was so happy that I had found someone to share this podcast with and to help me with Italy. She was always so worried that I was not going to find my way in Italy somehow. She knew I was capable, but she was like, oh gosh, what's going to happen to you over there? You're going to be all alone. You're not going to know anybody. You're not going to have any friends. And she was so happy to know that I had such a good friend and had made such a good connection with you and Luca and with all our listeners, because I would read messages to her from you listeners. Believe it or not, it's very possible that one of you listening right now, yes, you, wrote me a message that I read to her, because I read a lot of messages that I would get on the podcast to her, and she loved it. It made her so happy to know that I had followed my dreams and done something really adventurous. When she was 50 years old, she retired early. She had worked in the family business very hard for a long, long time since she was very young, and she had kind of gotten to the point where she was done. She still owned another business, but she was ready to travel and do some different things. And one of the first things she did was go on a solo trip to Australia and New Zealand. And I've been hearing about these stories of her on those trips, and the stories, I would get more and more stories as because she was on that trip for a couple months. And she would tell me about, you know, Christmas Day, she wakes up in a town in New Zealand, and it was like a town way off the map somewhere. And this man was having coffee. He was kind of this rough, gruff farmer. And she started talking to him, and he told her, yeah, well, you know, I'm a sheep farmer, and I have a farm that's just a little ways from here, and I raise sheep. And what do you mean you're here all by yourself with no family and nowhere to spend Christmas? And so next thing you know, she's in his truck. He told her it was really close by. It was 3 hours away. So, you know, this is back in the day when, like, I don't think there was like cell phones the way there are now. And I think he showed up without telling his wife. He was bringing some random woman he had just met, some American woman, but she said his wife was so nice and so warm and genuinely welcoming. And she helped them work on the farm, and she'd been running a transportation company. And now here she is just on a sheep farm, just helping them do random things on the farm. It was a huge sheep farm. And she was just one of those adventurous souls who would do things like that, brave and interesting and amazing. So maybe in the next episode, I'm going to share with you last time that I went to her beach house with her in Aptos in California, right next to Santa Cruz. She had a really nice library of books upstairs, and I was going through her books, and I found one of the books by the author Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather. And I think it might have been the second book in the series called The Sicilian. And I pulled that book off the shelf. I was like, oh, Graham, I've never read this book. Do you mind if I read this? She's like, no, take it with you. In fact, take it with you to Italy. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, of course. I haven't read that book in years, but yeah, it's all yours. And I'm like, okay, but you have to write something in it for me. So the whole first page of that book, she wrote a message to me, filled up the entire first page of that book. And I forgot about that. And last week, I was like, I need to start reading more books. And I picked up that book. I opened it up, the first page. There's my Graham's handwriting in green ink, because I only had a green pen with me. And she wrote this amazing message. Of course, I got really emotional reading this message from her. It was like she was sending me a message. In next episode, I'll read that message to you from the cover of that book, The Sicilian by Mario Puzo. I'm about a quarter of the way through that book right now, and I'm loving the book. But every time I open it up to read it at night, I look at that message she wrote me, and I'm just so grateful. More than anything, I'm really, really so grateful for her in my life. Most people do not still have their grandmothers or grandfathers at my age. And so I'm beyond blessed, but just because I'm blessed and I know I've had so many good years with her, like you said, Veta, I don't want to ever say goodbye to her. Thank you for indulging me this time to just air this out with you. And I really do appreciate it. Now, before we get into our surrounding sounds, we've got Ask Veta. Now, I love this segment because it surprises Veta. Every time I do this, it surprises Veta. I have not shared this question yet with Vera. This week's question comes from our listener in Texas. Her name is Marlene. It's a very, very interesting question. I'm really curious what your thoughts are on this. So Marlene wanted to know, Vera, I visited Italy several times, and I get the impression that Italy still has very, very strong gender roles. Seems like there are traditional roles that have been deeply ingrained into the culture in Italy for maybe thousands of years. Is Italy still a gender specific to certain careers country, in your opinion?
That is a really, really interesting question. And I often think about it, especially when I go abroad and I see more women in, you know, job positions where I don't see many women here. But that is especially true for jobs that you can see. And I mean you as a tourist or as just an Italian wandering around. Because I worked in a winery for 7 years. And when I started there, and they showed me the whole facility, of course, in the cellar where the oak barrels are, it was only men, because you really need to be strong. Now, there are strong women, of course, but on average, men can lift more weight than women. But in the bottling area and in the fields, so pruning and harvesting, it was 50-50. Mm-hmm. So a lot of women, and I was surprised myself. So women have always worked in the countryside, in the fields, so in agriculture. But probably compared to other countries, it is true that we're still very tied to gender, but it's not because women cannot, okay? There are a lot of women studying engineering, you know, or, well, we had the first and youngest a woman as Presidente della Camera, and that was, I guess, 15 years ago already, maybe 20 even, okay? And the Camera is one of the branches of our government.
So, and right now we have a premier who's a woman. So you see, it's not that, oh no, women cannot be in politics or in engineering. They can. But what I think is that Italian families and Italian mothers are still very traditional. They want to be real mothers. I'm doing air quotes right now because I'm not saying that women who work are not real mothers. But here in Italy, we have a special way of being moms. And moms are really proud of how they raise their kids, even if it's just one most of the time or two tops, but still they want to spend more time with their kids. So what happens, and I heard that from friends of mine, and many of those, it's like, you know, I could have applied for that job, you know, but it was further away and I want to have a kid soon. So I'm just staying where I am with my, you know, job not far from home because I want to spend more time with my kids, okay? This is probably why we have fewer women, I would say. But when a woman does want to have a career, oh, it can be a big deal. It's not that, you know, no, you're a woman, you don't do that. It's just that probably from what I heard personally, most women who want to become mom, they don't want to work that much or be that much in a career. And then there's something surprising you probably would never guess, but the best chefs, even in the past, were men, okay? And there are, even here in my little town, 3,000 people living here, kindergarten teachers were men. I went to the hospital for a year and a half straight, you know that now, and my nurse, the one who was in charge of the studio where I went all the time, was a man. So it can be, yeah. So probably, I don't know if she maybe talked to someone, or I would love to know more about what she saw here to come up with that question. What have you noticed here in Italy, Nathan? What do you think?
I think you said it beautifully. I think that Italy, what I've always said about Italy from the beginning of this podcast is that Italy is like the United States was in many ways 40 years ago, even in some cases 50 years ago, maybe. Italy is just simply more traditional. I don't mind that, actually. I don't think that our modern society in the United States is better. I really don't. I find us to be terribly contemptuous. Nobody's happier. Women, with all their, more rights that they've ever had, don't seem to be happier. So it seems like we could have, given everybody equal rights, but we seem to have, and which we should have. Everybody should have equal rights, but like something got lost in translation along the way, and everybody hates each other. And Italy, I don't see that here. So I don't see Italy. Some people could look at Italy and say, oh, you're still so backwards. I don't see it like that. I think that Italy still really puts a high premium on the important things. I see women in the Italian culture very, very highly esteemed. I mean, you brought up a really good point. Look at the prime minister. She's, whether you like her or not, she is the first female prime minister of Italy. A lot of people love her. She's really the highest rated politician in Europe at the moment. And so a lot of people really like the job she's doing and like her. I find it interesting that in that question, our listener asked about art and how men were always so famous in the arts from, you know, hundreds of years ago. And that is a really interesting point, because if you think about all the famous artists, you never hear once of a single woman's name from back then, because women were not allowed to be educated, right?
Correct. But that happened all over the world, not only in Italy. And we're talking about 500 years ago, 600 years ago. And there were women in history, not only Italian history, who published books, for example, under a pen name. And the pen name happened to be a man. name because they could not publish as women. So, of course, if we go back in the days, women could not study, could not make art, basically, because an artist, a man artist, oh, amazing, he's so good. Or even, you know, maybe not the most reliable man, because they were not rich, okay, back then when they were artists. But women were immediately seen as prostitutes. Of course, that's what happens to women every time they do something that is not legal. I'm talking about 400 years ago, not now. And probably even today, I don't know, maybe women create, at least in Italy, create things in a different way, maybe more at home. I know a lot of local artists that are women, but yeah, you're right. Probably not very famous contemporary art artists. There are some, but yeah, probably are. That is true. But I've never heard or read anything about women complaining because they could not be an artist or they could not be this or that. They can't. They do complain, but that's a thing also in the US, I guess, and in the rest of Europe, probably, that for the same job, women get paid a little bit less. So salary equality is not quite a thing yet, but it is officially if you get the same position. But what happens is oftentimes men improve their careers and they get new titles, so they get a raise, while women are sort of stuck even though the job they do is the same. But I have a few friends that work for multinational companies in Milan and so on, and they had a career and they have great jobs. So yeah, it can happen. I'm not saying that it is as easy as for men, because, well, here in Italy, another thing, yeah, we have to be honest about that. When a woman gets pregnant, she gets, if I'm not mistaken, but it's around 9 or 10 months paid leave minimum. But like if you work in a cafe, okay, you are a waitress, for example, or in a winery and you work in the field, you stop working the day you find out you're pregnant because you cannot do hard, you know, labor, manual work, because it could be dangerous for the baby. So oftentimes the employer loses an employee for 9 months, so the whole pregnancy plus another 9 months, where the woman gets paid in full, okay? They train someone, and that this someone has the right, I mean, they can go back to work, but they don't, obviously. You have the right to stay home for 9 months. If it's a hard job, okay, high-risk job, then you also stay home and you're fully paid for your whole pregnancy. And then we have what we call the extra maternity leave that you can take if you want, and your salary will go down month after month, but you can take almost another 6 or 7 months, I guess, or even a whole year. So this is why, I mean, it's great for moms in Italy. I know that in the US, for example, but in other countries, they struggle because they give birth and 2 days later, they must be at work and ready, okay? In Italy, it's great. If you wanna have a child here, is amazing. Your rights are amazing, and you can really take the time to care about your baby in the first months or year. But what if you have an employee and she decides to stay home for 2 years? Maybe you train her. Maybe she was so good at her job. So yes, this could happen sometimes, that when someone is hiring, they might prefer, you know, choose a man over a woman for this reason, especially if she's young and, you know, could potentially have children, because that's just for one child. What if she has three? So you train her, you like her, you hire her, and then maybe she doesn't come to work for 6 years.
My goodness.
Yeah. So pros and cons, you know?
Yeah, but that brings up you brought up a really good point. And I want to be clear, I'm a big proponent of women's rights. I'm a big proponent of equal rights, no matter what your race, gender, orientation, any of that. Equal rights for everybody. it's a given. Like, I think we're getting closer to it. We're not there yet in the world, but we're getting there. But the respect that Italy has for women is different. I think it's superior in many ways than the United States has for women. Look at that. What you just brought up is a prime example. The minute that a woman finds out she's pregnant, she gets paid maternity leave for 9 months for the entire pregnancy, and then an additional 9 or 10 months. That is highly valuing the life of a woman who has decided to bring another life into the world. Like, that is saying we value, not we think you're helpless. No, we value you so much, we're going to invest into you and make sure you're okay and make sure your baby's okay. That is brilliant. And I'm all for that. United States has been famous for being so pro women's rights. I like Italy's approach better. I just do.
First of all, before our listener decide to come to Italy and have tons of babies here, you are paid and stay home for the whole pregnancy only if your job is a high risk job. Like, you work in a factory where there are chemicals, so you stop working here. Okay. If you work in an office, then you go to work. But you stop when you're like 8 months pregnant, and then you have what we call allattamento. So it's off hours for breastfeeding until, you know, if you go back to work before the full 2 years, you have shorter hour because you have to go home and breastfeed or spend more time with your kid. So I am totally for equal rights, but we men and women are not equal. Of course, we are different. So maybe equal is not fair. Maybe for in instances like this, if a woman can have a special treatment after having a baby that is part of the society, probably it is better.
Anyone who wants to ask Vera a question for this wonderful segment of Ask Vera, and if you send in enough questions, we might just turn the entire episode into an Ask Vera, one question after another. Vera gives her response, and then her and I discuss it for a little while, and we move on. I love that. So write your thoughtful, interesting, simple, quirky, long-winded, whatever they are, write your questions for Vera, email them to me and Vera at imovingtoitalypodcast@gmail.com, and we will do our best to answer every one of your questions. Vera, we've got some really interesting surrounding sounds today. Before we do that, let's share a quick word from our sponsors. Did you know that there's a really, really clever trick to saving money on airfare, hotels, and car rental? When you have ExpressVPN and you change your location to reset your phone or your computer so that you are searching according to what the website reads as your location, you're searching from Italy. And Italians get a much better price, or Italian residents get a better price on certain things when they book from Italy. When you use ExpressVPN to adjust your location to tell your phone or your computer that you're actually searching in Italy for these things rather than searching from the United States and paying United States prices, that's something that many people don't realize is just one of the many, many benefits of having a VPN. And a VPN is absolutely essential if you plan to live in Italy. I use mine every single day. I couldn't get through a single day without it. It allows me to watch all my streaming services. It protects me when I'm using public Wi-Fi, when I'm traveling. It keeps all my data safe. And it's only about $9 a month. And the good news is our listeners get 3 months free when they sign up with the links on our website at imovingtoitaly.com. Just click on the links for ExpressVPN, sign up for a one-year plan, and you will save. Plus, you will get 3 months free. If you are looking for an excellent online way to learn Italian, there is no better program than Babbel Language. I highly recommend their lifetime membership. That's what I've been using, and it is a game changer. It is much better than all of the other online language apps. Trust me, I've tried them all. You can check out Babbel Language at imovingtoitaly.com. Click on our links, and you can save up to 50 or even 60% on a lifetime membership. If you need help with learning Italian, you can check out Chicche Language. Our wonderful co-host, Vera Sarzano, is an excellent Italian language coach. She is my personal Italian language coach and teacher. She's the best. And you can check out her website, Chicche Language, that's C-H-I-C-C-H-E, language.com, and sign up for one of Vera's group classes or one-on-one classes. If you need help moving to Italy, if you need someone to coach you, hold your hand, guide you, whether you're getting a visa, whether you're trying to buy property, no matter what you're trying to do, I would be happy to help you. I have a very, very detailed questionnaire on my website. Just go to imovingtoitaly.com, click on the links for coaching with Nathan, fill out the questionnaire. You can also just sign up immediately, just follow the links and schedule an appointment with me for private one-on-one coaching. I would be happy to help you move to Italy. It's something that I've done and I've made all the mistakes. I can help you avoid those mistakes. So visit imovingtoitaly.com for links to all of our sponsors. And I'd like to thank our sponsors today. And now back to our episode. We've shared with you, starting in our last episode, that we're going to kind of do something a little different this season. One of our surrounding sounds is going to be a mystery surrounding sound. And it's going to be something that is originally done in English that has been translated into Italian. So we're going to play it. You do your best to guess. And then at the end of the episode, we'll tell you what it was. So the very first surrounding sound I have to share with you is the sound of me going to Easter service, Pasqua service here in Italy, and some of the music. And so I've got some of the sounds from that. And then I have this mystery surrounding sound. So enjoy these sounds, Vera, and I'll be back afterwards to say goodbye.
Forno, Will.
Ah, ti piacerebbe, vero?
Voi?
Ah, per favore, potreste spostare il tacchino e tutto il resto dall'altra parte del tavolo? Questo odore è proprio...
tipico.
Chiedo scusa, cosa?
Ho solo detto che è tipico. Tipico della regina Rachel che fa qualunque cosa le aggradi a Rachelandia. Chi è questo tizio?
Scusa, ma tu hai forse qualche problema con me?
Non lo so, dovrei? Devo?
Secondo me sì. Tu per lui sei stata un piccolo neo alle superiori.
Un piccolo neo? Hai reso la mia vita un vero inferno.
Mi dispiace, io non ne avevo idea.
Sì, lo so bene. Passa la pasta al forno, bella.
No, no, hai fatto tanto per dimagrire.
Forza!
Serviti? Comunque, io voglio che tu sappia che mi dispiace per tutto quello che ti avrei fatto a scuola.
Oh, non solo a me. Avevamo un club.
Tu avevi un club?
Proprio così? Io odio Rachel. Era questo il club?
E così vi riunivate addirittura in gruppo per odiarmi. E chi altro c'era nel club?
Io e Ross.
Non serve indicarmi, lo sa bene chi è Ross.
E così eri anche tu un socio di quel club?
Certo, anche lui.
No, no.
E chi altro c'era tra gli iscritti oltre a voi?
Vediamo, c'era anche quel ragazzo appena arrivato dalla Thailandia, ma non sapeva bene di che si trattasse.
Dunque, noi siamo stati insieme per quasi 2 anni e tu non mi hai mai detto niente.
Tu stavi con lei. È il nostro patto.
Ma andavamo a scuola, non era certamente per sempre.
E allora perché c'era scritto eternità?
E tu, Monica, tu non ne sapevi niente?
Io ti giuro di no. Era per questo che vi chiudevate sempre a chiave in camera?
Sì.
È un bel sollievo, ragazzi.
So, in case you haven't figured it out, our surrounding sound, the mystery surrounding sound that was dubbed into Italian from English, was an episode of Friends. This has been a really lovely evening here, rainy evening in the Prosecco Hills, visiting with you. And I love that this new season is allowing us to have more conversations like this.
Yeah, to just chat. Chiacchieriamo, chiacchieriamo.
Well, thank you again, Vera. It was wonderful. Thanks for spending this time with us today.
Thank you, and I'll see you in a few weeks. Ciao, ciao.
Wherever you are listening to the sound of our voices today, we hope you are healthy and well, and we look forward to being back here with you next time for another episode. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.